log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids? That is, from the very beginning of the birth.
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is your host Musa Al-Bahadli, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, issues, and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers and suggestions and knowledge provided in this program are based upon the Holy Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining me in the studio is our dear friend and guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Last time we spoke about how important it is to understand the traits that are most prevalent in our children and how we can use the traits to raise our children in a correct manner and how we can also use it to better understand them. And we also spoke about how vastly, vastly important patience is when we raise our children. Because often we said that people are patient in many things, but for some reason, when it comes to their children and problems they have with their children's upbringing, they sort of give up after a short while. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajam. Now, we got to the point when dealing with our children, there's a very important factor that a lot of parents don't pay attention to or don't read about or don't understand. In the life of the children, the fact that each year of a child's life, the child would go through a different phase. So it is very important, very vital for parents to understand these stages, this lifetime that the child goes through. So the years of the child's life, let's say the first 7 to the first 14, each year the child will change. His mood will change. His hobbies will change,
right.
His talents will change, his likes and dislikes will change.
Right.
And understanding that is very important for a parent, because sometimes we could pass a judgment on a child at an age where he is meant to be at that age. Now, what I will do is, inshallah, I would want to go through some of the years and what things happen in these years,
right,
so our parents would understand how children will work in this regard, and they don't take it as a wrong thing. So, for example, children in the first 2 years of their age, of their life, the first 2 years, they like to run around naked. I'm talking here statistically and from the books of ethics and
what research have said, basically.
And research.
Science, right.
So they say children in the first two years of their life, they like to learn running around naked. They like to have less clothes. Now, most parents, they might find that as, or even outsiders, they might find that as what we call qalat adab, right?
It's a taboo.
Lack of morals, lack of ethics. It's like, oh, how could you let your child be like this? This is not right. This is wrong. And we might find that as offensive, but that's just the natural thing.
It's a fact of life. Yeah. Dear Sayyid, I must interrupt you because we will go on a quick break.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Welcome back to your listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. We are discussing just now how a child goes through different phases, and the first phase is from when the child is 0 years old to 2 years old, and how we said that at that phase of the child's life, they like to explore with their fingers and with their touch, and how they prefer not to wear too many clothes.
Yeah.
Please pick off where we left off.
So we said that this age, I mean, also you need to keep in mind just before we continue that this is not a formula, this is not a must happen to every child.
Right.
But generally speaking, based on the experiments that they've done and the research they've done, they found out this happens to be the most, right? So I want to say, for example, the first 2 years, kids like to have less clothes on, or they like to run around with no clothes at all. That's just, like we said, it's just part of that age, that age group, that, you know, the first 2 years. So we, as parents, we should not mistake it for indecency, for example.
Right,
or
breach of
something wrong with the child,
right?
Because some parents, those are, okay, there's something wrong with the child, he's indecent, he's in this. No, this is just that time frame of his, the first 2 years.
Right.
Kids prefer, because they don't understand the concept of decency themselves, they don't understand the concept of morality itself, they don't understand the concept of clothes to begin with itself.
Right, we need to remember that this child has no experience, if you may say,
exactly,
to wearing clothes and something that constricts their body. So it makes sense.
So that also need to be kept in mind. Also, they said that when kids are the first 2 years of their life, they determine right and wrong based on pain and happiness. So if the child finds something painful, he says that's wrong. If he finds something that's giving him pleasure, he said that's good.
Right.
So they don't use our method, which is, let's say, going by the social norms or by the
moral code of conduct.
Right? They don't go by that. Right. They don't know these things. So he goes based on what he feels that is good and what he feels that is bad.
Right.
So pain and pleasure are his two most used tools to determine right and from wrong.
Just like, if I may say, an animal, no offense, because an animal does not have such a thinking process that developed adults have. They also think in terms of pain and pleasure.
That's it. So as a child, because when he's born plain. There's nothing in him, right?
Yeah,
so it's a process of learning. And I remember the story of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun when he wanted to test
him. Yeah.
He gave him a date, and he made him choose between a date, I think, and a coal and a fire.
Right.
And Musa touched the fire and he ate it. And then because of that, caused him a lot of problems as he grew older. So a child goes based on pain and pleasure rather than anything else. So also that needs to stay in the mind of a parent, that when they see a child doing something wrong, to the child might be something good because this is how he perceives it.
It brings pleasure to him. So why is it not good for him?
Exactly. So he doesn't go by our social measurement.
Right. Exactly.
So also, for example, that needs to be kept in mind. We also say that kids in the first 2 years of their life, they don't like to share. They don't like to share their toys, right?
So sometimes you find parents calling their kids, calling them greedy, calling them selfish, calling them stingy.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's not sharing his toys. Well, that's his period of his time. Right. He doesn't like to share. Kids at this age, the first 2 years, they don't like to share. You need to keep that for them.
But okay? Sayid, some people, like, they stick that way until the late years of adulthood.
No. Okay. Obviously, we have with stinginess itself and greed right. itself is a problem. It's a vice that even grown-ups, we have that problem.
Right.
But as
right.
a child, we say, because the first 2 years, he liked to be alone and he wants to play by himself. So naturally, he doesn't like to share. So right. don't call him greedy and stingy
naturally.
Because of that.
Naturally. Dear Sayid, we'll go on a quick break.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, excessive blame causes the fire of obstinacy to flame.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing the different phases a child goes through when he is developing. Dear Sayid, please continue the discussion.
All right. Also, we get to say that kids, for example, in the first 2 years of their age, they like to be independent. They start to build on their independency. They like to eat by themselves.
Right.
They like to open the...
They
like
hate being fed.
Yeah, they right. want to open the back of the bag of chocolate or chips
or whatever
by themselves.
It is. Yeah.
They like to do the balloon, for example, by themselves. They like to do things themselves. They don't like anyone to help them. They like to solve their own problems by themselves. They're right. only 2 years old, but that's the time when they start to want to do things by themselves. And that's a time where a parent, for example, they need to work with their child to help them have that kind of independency. Because sometimes a child might try to wear his clothes and he just makes a big mess out of things, and the parents can find them having a go at him and why this, that, and even sometimes the child might get hit in the right. process for yeah. trying to be independent. He might try to eat by himself and makes a big mess, but we try to feed him. So work with the child. That's the time of his period of his time where he learns his independency. There's nothing wrong there, you know, because the child is trying to be independent.
Right. When you put it that way, it's suddenly not a problem any longer, because parents and the user just see that the child is making a mess when he tries to put on some clothes. But as you said, if they change their optic and actually look at it as this child is developing their independent thinking and in their independence, I think it's actually quite good that they're doing this, actually.
Exactly. That's what we're saying. That's the time where his abilities, where his personality, where his identity is trying to take form
right.
From the first 2 years. And it begins by him trying to be independent, trying to do things for himself, because he doesn't want you to perceive him as a child anymore. He doesn't want you to treat him as a child anymore.
Right.
So I was like, no, I can do it myself. So, okay, we say to ourselves, sure, fine. Let's give him the time, and let's give him the opportunity to do things himself. And obviously, the more he learns to be independent, the better for him as he grows older. So, as parents, we need to be patient, as we say, and them trying to being independent. And obviously, they will make a big mess out of things because
right.
they're only 2 years old.
Naturally, yeah.
So they're not going to do everything right, but that's something as parent we should be expecting it. We should be anticipating it. We should be working with it.
And
we
perhaps
should be
even encouraging them. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be standing against it. So sometimes when a parent does not understand the time period of this, for example, the first 2 years, and what happened to the child, he will deal with him all wrong. He will deal with child completely differently.
Yeah.
And instead of giving him what he's, for example, if he wants less clothes on, instead of labeling him as an indecent child, or for example, he makes a big mess because he wants to be independent, or maybe, I don't know, for example, him trying to solve his own problems and saying, well, you know, there's a problem, or him not sharing his toys, he's greedy. So I'm labeling a child, dealing with him based on what I see, not based on what the child actually is.
Right.
And so that's a big problem, how I deal with him and how he should be dealt with.
There's a big difference between that. Yeah.
Yeah. So as educators, as parents, we need to at least open a book or two about children and about the years of their life, at least the first 10, the first 15, and get to see what happens around that period,
right.
How children act and behave around this time. And then when it happens in front of me, when it happens to my child, I know exactly what's going on. I know that this is okay, this is not okay, right? Because I am aware of it.
Dear Sayyid, I thank you for your time and your insightful knowledge, but I must interrupt you because today's program is unfortunately up. I thank the dear listeners for tuning in. As usual, if our dear listeners have any feedback, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irrb.ir, or you can visit us at our website, parstoday.com. Alternatively, you can also find us on our various social media accounts on the many social media platforms we have, such as on Instagram and Facebook, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is another thought-provoking saying from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, from his cousin and father-in-law, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O Ali, three characters are high moral standards. These are regard for the one who ruptured relations with you, granting the one who deprived you, and pardoning the one who wronged you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
light.
One of the disastrous effects of climate change has been the loss of glaciers worldwide. People around the world are trying new ways to tackle this problem. Now, a team of Chilean conservationists have come up with a creative project to protect glaciers and prevent water loss. The project is called NILUS. Winter rains are collected in cone-like structures called stupas. Experts from Chile are using a technology that was first developed in India to make these man-made glaciers. The water is then later used in the dry summer months. Chile has been experiencing a severe drought for years. NILUS director Enrique Gilona says the project hopes to address water shortages in the country.
Here we are not creating new water. Water is something that is in nature already. It has a cycle, but clearly it has been affected by the effects of the great climate change, which we are facing. And we are looking for a solution that actually allows us to protect this water for a longer time in the mountain range, to be able to deliver it downstream toward the communities.
The goal is to store some 100 million liters of water across 50 stupas next year. This would be enough water to supply 100,000 people for 3 months. The first prototype was erected in Park Arenas, an area known for its glaciers surrounding a volcano, the highest parts of the mountain region. Researchers and activists have warned that glaciers in the Andes Mountains have been receding in recent years. They blame climate change for the loss of glaciers and water shortages. A photo on social media, an article, or a TV program can all draw attention to climate change. But to a German artist, nothing seems to be as effective as a journey using a giant water ball to make his voice heard. Arndt Drossel started his journey from his hometown Paderborn, West Germany, 3 months ago. The trip has so far taken him through more than 60 cities. He has completed the journey to the Scottish city of Glasgow, the venue of a major UN climate conference. Drossel says he aims to tell people how they can help tackle climate change, now a key global problem. The German artist believes everyone has a duty to solve the problem to help next generations have a good future.
My wife and we have 5 children, and we want to give them a good and happy future. And everybody knows, I think, about the problems our Earth has, and we will have the same problem in several cities and countries.
The German artist says he has encouraged people to make specific promises to tackle climate change. He says his own pledge was to offset all his personal carbon emissions by using the sphere for his journey. Drossel says he will continue his efforts until the promises reach 1 million. Meet Clarion, a homemade polar bear whose mission is to raise awareness of climate change in a 500-kilometer pilgrimage to Glasgow. The 3-meter polar bear is work of British furniture maker Bamber Hoss. The bear weighs 17 kilograms and is made of bamboo, willow, and tissue paper. Hoss started his journey with Clarion from his hometown of Bishop's Castle in England to Glasgow. They accomplished their spectacular journey ahead of the United Nations COP26 climate conference in the Scottish city. Hoss says Clarion is a symbol of melting Arctic ice caps due to global warming.
He's called Clarion. Clarion the bear is not a bear. He is a metaphor. He's a symbol. It is a very obvious symbol that a polar bear represents the Arctic, not the Antarctic, and that is where, you know, some of the problems are with melting ice caps. Not all the problems, because they're elsewhere as well.
Hoss says his aim is to encourage people to pay attention to climate change. Environmental activists from across the UK and elsewhere on the continent have also embarked on a long journey on food to reach the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow. Did you know that animals might have the potential to help tackle climate change? Strange indeed, but that seems to be the case according to scientists. The sheep on a remote Scottish island have a special diet that consists mainly of seaweed. This feature is what scientists are hoping can help reduce global warming. Sheep usually feed on grass, and the process contributes to methane emissions. But scientists say the sheep in Orkneys are unique because of spending the winter eating only the marine plants. Listen to one researcher explaining whether feeding seaweed into the sheep diet can actually help reduce gas emissions.
The main thing at the moment is we need to absolutely prove, one, which seaweed is going to be the best for this, what amount of seaweed into the feed gives the best effect, and then can you scale that up to a level where you would actually have an effect on the overall UK farming?
If proven, the Scottish sheep and their unique diet could lead to a breakthrough in methods for livestock breeding, which is a major source of greenhouse gases. Methane is about 30 times more powerful than carbon dioxide in trapping heat in the atmosphere.
Flocks of sheep are on the streets of Madrid. The animals have made their way through the center of the Spanish capital to follow ancient migration routes. Shepherds accompanied their sheep and goats moving through the streets of the Spanish capital. They actually marked a centuries-old annual tradition that began in 1994. The event allows shepherds to migrate their cattle from summer to winter pastures. They do so based on a deal struck in 1418 that allows the animals to walk through the city freely. The event attracts hundreds of people. It was canceled last year due to the pandemic, but this year, many locals came out to watch.
The Philippines is among the countries facing a soaring plastic waste crisis. However, a group of recyclers are working hard to tackle the problem, turning the waste into building materials. The group is called the Plastic Flamingo, or simply the PLAF. They gather bottles, single-use sachets, and snack food wrappers. The waste is then shredded and molded into post-add planks that can be used for decking and fencing. Their products are also durable enough to make disaster relief shelters and urban furniture. The group says the coronavirus pandemic has worsened the plastic waste problem, sparking a rush for protection equipment. Their disposal is a matter of concern now.
Because of the plastic problem we're currently facing, the pandemic, the huge accumulation of plastic use, there's also improper disposal. People are unaware on, you know, how do I dispose these plastics? Where do I dispose of them? So at the same time, we give that avenue also that instead of putting it in landfills or oceans in general, you know, you give it to the PLAF, you give it to recycling centers like us, and we would recycle these, upcycle them into better products.
The PLAF says surging online shopping is also another problem that they try to address. The group has collected over 100 tons of plastic waste since it started the business in 2019. However, they still have a lot to do. A UN report says some 300 million tons of plastic waste are produced annually, with South Asian countries accounting for 60% of it.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A North Macedonian zoo has a new inhabitant. It may be small, but it has certainly sparked a big amount of joy. The baby marmoset was born 3 weeks ago. Its parents are super protective of their precious offspring. That's why zoo staff have not been able to get close to the baby and determine if it's a male or a female. The tiny primate will be given a name after its sex is known. Marmosets are the world's smallest monkeys. On average, they are about 13 centimeters long and weigh up to 100 grams. The adorable animals can be found in a number of countries in the Americas.
The hustle and bustle of modern life has made it difficult to communicate with nature the way humans used to do a few decades ago. Now a giant statue in the state of New York reminds us of the importance of lending an attentive ear to our surroundings. The massive statue named Water's Soul is located along the Hudson River. A woman's head with her index finger pressing on her lips seems she's asking bystanders to maintain silence. It's a work of 66-year-old Spanish artist Juanme Palenza. He says the message of his work is, quote, to call on people to listen to the profound noise of the water talking to us. Water's Soul was made of polyester resin, fiberglass, and marble dust at a Barcelona studio. It was later shipped to its Jersey City site for assembly. The sculpture is 24 meters tall.
You might have heard of Iran's stellar wrestling achievements or about its soccer team, but that's not all. Another sport has grabbed attention too. Golfer is now competing during Iran's national golf tournament in Tehran. This year, 90 participants from around the country played on a very unique golf course. It has only 13 holes instead of the standard 18, but that hasn't stopped golf enthusiasts playing the 13 holes and then repeating the last five to complete the tournament. The good news is that the golf course might not stay so small for long. Iran's Golf Federation hopes to bring in more people interested in golf. But for this to happen, the infrastructure must be provided first.
We don't have the space to use the 350 instructors to train the 3,000 registered men and women across the country, so we decided to build a national academy off the golf course. Course number 18 will be used in a competition venue during tournaments and as a training and education venue during non-competition times.
When the course was built decades ago in northern Tehran, it had five more holes. But over the years, fairways were laid across parts of the field, reducing playable footprint. Tehran's golf club has about 300 members, half are women. Golf has been around in Iran for over a century, and most of the courses are in southern provinces. Concerned about endangered animals? If yes, then it will be good news that a Mexican zoo has welcomed a newborn zebra. It belongs to the most threatened of the three species of zebra in the world. The foal made a public appearance Thursday, 10 days after it was born at a zoo in northern Mexico. It's about 50 centimeters tall. Its weight, between 10 to 15 kilograms. The newborn equine raises hopes for the conservation of the imperial zebra species.
We are the only zoo in Mexico that has this species of zebra. Unfortunately, it is an endangered species. Here at the zoo, we are doing everything possible to preserve and produce them so that in the future we can repopulate some other parks.
The imperial zebra is native to Africa. It is the largest of the wild equids, the family of horses, donkeys, and other animals. Currently, there are less than 2,500 of imperial zebras in the wild. That's blamed on the destruction of their habitat, illegal hunting, and lack of food.
world's largest Ferris wheel has opened to public in the United Arab Emirates. Dubbed the Dubai Eye, the wheel takes the visitors to a height of 250 meters, feasts their eyes on the city skyline. That is almost double the height of the iconic London Eye and over 80 meters taller than the high roller in the U.S. city of Las Vegas. Each full rotation of the giant structure takes 38 minutes. The city put on a spectacular firework and light display to celebrate the opening.
The 38th edition of the International Short Film Festival has kicked off in the Iranian capital, with some 63 films from 32 countries competing in the event. The festival has for the first time turned into an Oscar-qualifying event, giving winning entries a shot at the Academy Awards. This is being held at Tehran's famous Iran Mall cinema complex, and it will showcase short feature, documentary, and experimental works. 5 Iranian films and 58 from abroad are selected for the grand prize, and the winner will be presented to the Academy for possible Oscar nomination. The jury has members from Iran as well as Italy, Japan, and France. The festival will be running until October 23rd.
Natural disasters often disrupt normal life, but that's not the case with an Indian couple who got married despite their town being submerged by floodwaters. The couple, identified by local media as health workers in Kerala State, managed to reach a temple for the wedding in a giant cooking pot. They could be seen smiling and waving in their ceremonial clothes while two of their relatives were steering the pot. The couple reportedly borrowed the pot from the temple, saying that was the only option available. The pair was unwilling to postpone their big day, adding an unforgettable story to a country that is famous for many incredible things.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is today's special, so welcome. Today we're going to speak about how to manage stress in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waftaqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Tuesday, is the 26th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter read from the Holy Quran, verse 28. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب
those who have believed and whose hearts are assured by the remembrance of Allah. Unquestionably, by the remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
What point we learn from this ayah? Those who acknowledge the unity of Allah and accept His attributes and the prophetic mission of His Prophet and embrace whatever has been revealed from Him, and their hearts are set at rest by the remembrance of Allah, allow Allah to soothe their hearts regarding His blessings and rewards with the thought of Him and of His grace and favors, for Allah's promise is decisive, and nothing will soothe the anxious hearts better than His divine truthful promises. Listeners, to remember Allah does not mean merely paying lip service to Him, though it is one of the clear examples of thinking of Him. For what counts is thinking of Allah in all circumstances, in particular at the time of committing sin. Strong faith in Allah protects us from all sorts of physical and mental stress, sorrow, anxiety, and despair. When a person suffers from a deficiency of faith in Allah, he or she may feel more inclined towards evil deeds. It will be challenging for them to commit good acts because low faith seizes the productivity of their life. And while we highly recommend getting professional help if you are suffering from depression or stress, there are also some steps that you can take from the Islamic perspective. It is important to take both the religion, and dunya, worldly affairs, together, which is why both medical and religious help should be utilized by Muslims.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to confront stress or how to manage stressful situations. At the same time, we find that many people may say that we can't do anything for managing stressful situations. In some cases, we may not be able to manage those stressful situations, yet in many cases, we find that having firm belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes everybody feel quite comfortable. And even in stressful situations, it helps people feel that there's nothing to worry about. In the life and times of the infallible imams and the divine prophets, we find that since they had belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in its complete form, they manage stressful situations. For example, we find that in the case of the Prophet Ibrahim, as it's called in Arabic, when we find that the Prophet Abraham was arrested and he was thrown into a very huge fire, Abraham had no worry. He wasn't worried about anything because he did throughout his life, he did everything just for the sake of the divine satisfaction, for the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was sure that he never made any mistake and he wasn't worried about anything. So we find that when he was thrown by a catapult into the fire, into a very big and huge fire, those people who were around him, some of them might be worried about his fate in that huge fire, huge and in fact infernal fire. Yet the prophet Abraham himself was quite calm, and he retained his tranquility. It was because of his firm belief in the divine decision regarding him.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Again, like previous episodes of today's special, we'll look at the ways to lower our daily stress. One of them is doing breathing exercises. Breathing exercises are another excellent antidote for stress. When you feel really stressed out, try this for 5 to 10 minutes. Breathe in with your nose for 5 seconds. Hold your breath for 3 seconds then. Slowly breathe out through your mouth for a count of 7 seconds. This breathing exercise will calm your body and you will start to feel relaxed. Just remember to breathe with your belly, specifically your diaphragm, the muscle that sits just below your lungs, rather than your chest for more efficient breathing. Doing this regularly is good for a healthy body and mind. Studies have shown that doing a similar breathing technique while meditating for as little as 8 minutes a day can slow down the negative effects associated with aging.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me. Accept al-Habib, Ummati, Ummati, Yaquluha lana yawm al-qiyamati, Ummati, Ummati, Yaquluha shafa'atan ana laha.
Now, who are prone to stress? Although stress spares no one, including children, certain professions get more than their share. They include the salesperson, the stockbroker, the secretary, the inner city school teacher, the air traffic controller, the medical intern, the police officer, and those handling complaint departments. It is interesting to note that the qualities like being ambitious, compulsive, high-achieving, productivity-oriented are looked upon as signs of efficiency by the employer, are also a personality trait, so dangerous to our health. So the art is to have these qualities with a cool personality in order to live happily and have a longer time. Sayyid Saleh Al-Qazvini.
Today, with technology, with medicine, we feel that everything is in our hands. We feel that, no, I don't need to pray. I'll go and work a little bit harder. I'm going to be able to make money. No, I don't need to, follow the rules of Allah. I could go through science, through technology, through medicine, through what we have around us in modernity. There's no need for religion. With modernity, I could attain happiness and success. This is what we think. But up until the moment, we see that everything that we had our eyes on and we thought that we had a grip of life, we see that within a blink of an eye, it's all taken away from us. I thought I was healthy. I go to the doctor and he tells me you have 6 weeks left to live. I'm not healthy anymore. I thought I had the money, and then suddenly overnight I feel that all my money is gone. The stock market crashed, all my money is gone. Here, faith comes into play. The one who does not have faith, what do they go and do? They go and they ruin their lives. They start drinking. They start trying to find other forms of satisfaction. They go to drugs, drinking. Or sometimes they go and they take their own lives away. But then the one who has faith in Allah submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you submit to Allah, when you seek refuge to Allah, you're seeking refuge to a power that has given you everything that you have. You're seeking refuge to Arhamur Rahimeen, the most of the merciful. You're not going to this person or that person. You're going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we feel that we do not have control of life, and in reality no one has control of life. In reality, even the richest person does not have control. Within a blink of an eye, their whole lives could change right in front of them. You see a king, a powerful person, one day he's king, the next day they're carrying him and they're placing him in a grave. This person was the most powerful person. Suddenly, everything is gone. All that power.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.